when I prepared my clients financially for retirement. They had financial plans, they had investment portfolios that matched their needs. And I thought, okay, my job's done. They can sail off into retirement. And then one by one, my clients started to retire. And I noticed that many of them were just not as happy as they thought they would be. One client thought, after he sold his company, that going to Florida and playing golf every day would be his dream in retirement. So I didn't see him after he left in November until May, when he came back and we had our meeting. And I was expecting to find a really exuberant, happy, tanned, healthy guy. And instead, he was pretty despondent, kind of depressed. He was sick and tired of playing golf every day. He was bored with the same fellows that he played golf with that were from his gated community, and really frustrated that his game wasn't getting better. And now he's wondering, what am I going to do next? So that was just one example of clients that I saw make this transition into retirement after selling their businesses or stepping down from their careers or their professions. And the story repeated itself over and over again in various ways. And I thought, you know, if the industry, if our wealth management industry is trying to move to being more holistic, then why isn't anybody talking about the non-financial side of this big, huge life transition that we call retirement? And if, as a holistic advisor, I have a responsibility to help my clients in that area.
Welcome to the Future Ready Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Sivarajan, wealth management consultant and behavioral scientist. Join me and my guests, from industry experts to top advisors, as we explore the pain points that financial advisors face, how they can solve them, free up their time, and make their practice future ready. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Sam Sivarajan. Welcome to today's episode of the Future Ready Advisor. I'm here with Susan Latremoy, former financial advisor and current retirement coach. Susan wants to help us reframe how we think about and prepare for retirement. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It's delighted to have you, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Let me quickly introduce you to our audience. After over 35 years as a successful wealth advisor with Richardson Financial, Susan saw a need to expand retirement planning beyond just finances. She became a certified retirement coach to help clients plan for their retirement, the lifestyle, motivations, and priorities to ensure a fulfilling next chapter. As a partner at Next Chapter Lifestyle Advisors, Susan now provides critical support around the non-financial aspects of retirement through assessments, coaching, and advising. With deep expertise not only in personal finance, but also family enterprises, psychology, and lifestyle planning, Susan brings a holistic approach to preparing clients for a smooth and rewarding transition into retirement. Now, that sets a stage for, I think, a really interesting conversation today, Susan. Maybe we can start with the question that you had a very successful career as a wealth advisor for over 35 years. What made you decide to leave that career and switch over to becoming a retirement coach?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sam. And you're right. I really did enjoy a many-year successful career with a large asset base and a large team and high net worth clients. It was really a great time in my life. But what I noticed as a trying to be a very holistic advisor was that I thought my job was done when I prepared my clients financially for retirement. They had financial plans, they had investment portfolios that matched their needs. And I thought, okay, my job's done. They can sail off into retirement. And then one by one, my clients started to retire. And I noticed that many of them were just not as happy as they thought they would be. One client thought, after he sold his company, that going to Florida and playing golf every day would be his dream in retirement. So I didn't see him after he left in November until May, when he came back and we had our meeting. And I was expecting to find a really exuberant, happy, tanned, healthy guy. And instead, he was pretty despondent, kind of depressed. He was sick and tired of playing golf every day. He was bored with the same fellows that he played golf with that were from his gated community, and really frustrated that his game wasn't getting better. And now he's wondering, what am I going to do next? So that was just one example of clients that I saw make this transition into retirement after selling their businesses or stepping down from their careers or their professions. And the story repeated itself over and over again in various ways. And I thought, you know, if the industry, if our wealth management industry is trying to move to being more holistic, then why isn't anybody talking about the non-financial side of this big, huge life transition that we call retirement? And if, as a holistic advisor, I have a responsibility to help my clients in that area. So that's basically why I decided to sell my practice and focus intently on this issue of the non-financial side of retirement planning.
I think it's such a timely resource right now and a timely question that we need to answer. And I think that the example that you gave points such a picture. You know, we've been brought up, I think, by society to believe that retirement is this time we've worked for 30 years of our life and then suddenly that we're supposed to go off and enjoy ourselves. So we've been striving to build things, to grow things, etc. And suddenly we're supposed to walk away from all of it. And I think to your point, I suspect that this, your client's example is not the exception, but rather the rule, that we have to have a better definition of what exactly that we're looking for in, you know, in our life, but also in our retirement. And I think it's almost assumed that we should want to hang up our cleats and take it easy in our retirement when that may not be the case for most people, certainly not people that have built up successful businesses over 30, 40 years of their lifetime.
Absolutely. I think we need to retire the word retirement. And the word that we like to use is rewirement, because no longer are the days where you sit in your rocking chair for 5 years before you die, with people living much longer, having better health, some retiring earlier. There's a period of 25 to 30 years that can be the best time of life. And so this word retirement really does it a disservice. I like the word rewirement better.
I love that word. And it reminds me of a comment I heard an academic make, that we seem to treat retirement as a cliff when we should actually be looking as retirement, or rewirement, as you put it, as an off-ramp. You know, how do we slowly kind of adjust to the next phase of our life, as opposed to it being an abrupt transition?
And that's why we named our company Next Chapter, because that's how we look at it. A next chapter in your life, not the last chapter necessarily, but the next chapter.
So on your website, Susan, you mentioned that there is a gap in the marketplace when it comes to retirement lifestyle planning. Can you elaborate on what you saw was missing and how you're filling that gap with your retirement coaching practice?
Yeah, sure, Sam. So I feel that the wealth management industry is very lopsided. All the focus in doing a financial plan is on the numbers, the projections, the retirement, the estate numbers, and so on. And as if you're trying to be a holistic financial advisor and you do financial plans, how can you possibly do a proper financial plan unless you really know what the life of that client's going to look like, what their lifestyle priorities are, their hobbies, their interests, their activities, their philanthropic plan, if they have one, and so on? So I think that we get too glib in the industry for just running numbers, and we don't consider the human side of it, the actual life of the client, and what they're going to do in this next phase. So in a perfect world, I'd see that there's an integration between the lifestyle retirement plan and the retirement financial plan. And once those two are integrated, then I think you can have something solid that you can hang your hat on and the client can use to guide their life going forward. But without that, it's just numbers. And it also doesn't lead to a very, I'd say, satisfying relationship with the client either.
I couldn't agree more, Susan. In a lot of my work on behavioral coaching and in my experience with clients, I think money is simply the mechanism by which you're achieving your real goals and dreams and hopes, etc. So the key is to kind of dig into what is it that the client really wants to do with their money. So retirement means a lot of things to a lot of different things to a lot of people. So without digging deeper and uncovering through a proper discovery kind of exercise to understand that retirement for this individual means giving back to the community or being involved with family, and what does that look like on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis, I think simply running the numbers is a one-dimensional type of exercise. You don't get to understand why this matters or where this fits into the priority of that client in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely.
Mm-hmm. So retirement can be an uncertain time with lots of change. I mean, we talk about any number of dimensions of it. So if you look at it from the financial point, the uncertainties, of course, none of us have a real idea of how long, but we don't know how long it's going to be. But beyond the non-financial, I think you're touching on a few things. What is our sense of purpose? What is our social interaction? What's going to keep us occupied and interested? And I've always noted that, yes, you can love playing golf, but it's one thing to play a couple of rounds a week when you're working. It's another thing to play a couple of rounds a day, every day for 5 days a week for the next, 20 years of your life. What would you say are the biggest emotional and psychological adjustments that people face? And how do you help your clients navigate these challenges?
I think the biggest psychological and emotional issues that people face boil down to what the acronym that we call SIPS, S-I-P-S, could stand for people's notion of retirement as just sipping coffee, but really it stands for some of the challenges that people face. The first one that you touched on is social connection. When we're working, we often become good friends with our colleagues and perhaps customers, suppliers, and so on. And we have this thought that these social connections are going to continue once we leave the company. But in reality, after a period of time, a lot of the purpose for having those connections falls away, and the social connections tend to fall away as well. So that's the first S. Then there's the challenge, the loss of identity. The business card that you had that used to open doors and give you status and prestige in the community doesn't mean a thing anymore. You might as well rip them up and throw them away because that's no longer your identity. So a lot of people that have been highly tied to the work that they do, that their sense of identity comes from their work, this is a big loss, and they have to replace that identity with something new. The third one, the P, stands for purpose. When we're working, we know when we get up in the morning what we need to achieve that day. We have targets to meet, we have meetings to attend, and so on. So our days are filled with purpose, with activities that work towards our purpose. But in retirement, often people don't have a new purpose. They haven't found it yet, or they haven't realized that they even need one. And so that loss of purpose can often lead to some very bad habits, like sleeping in the morning, not doing your workouts, turning on the TV, hitting the cocktail hour earlier, et cetera, et cetera. So having a sense of purpose is critical. And then the final S for SIPS is structure. And that is that when we're working, our days are punctuated, kind of a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday kind of routine. But when we retire, and I often hear this from retirees, they don't even know what day it is. And that's because there's no punctuation of the weekdays, the weekends, they all flow into together. And the days seem to have no structure to them. And of course, that leads to being quite inefficient and unproductive, which most highly successful people pride themselves on being. So these are some of the challenges that we see that people face. And unaddressed, those challenges can lead to some pretty unhappy results. As I touched on, people can get depressed. I had one client actually, after he retired without purpose, lost his identity and so on. And he went from depression into early onset dementia. It was terrible to see because he was a fabulous CFA, a numbers guy who really was very, very sharp in his career. And this lack of purpose, the lack of the social connection and the structure to his time sent him into a real downward spiral. I think another factor, another result of all this is the concept or the notion we call gray divorce. So the highest statistic on divorces in North America today is people over 50. And through research, we know that the catalyst for this phenomenon called gray divorce is often the fact that one or both parties retired. And for some, it means that the unmasking of some relationship issues that have been lurking all along come to the surface. And for others, it simply means a parting of the ways, going in two different directions in the next phase of life. So all of these issues are preventable, and we work with people to help them avoid the perils of retiring with the SIPs.
No, that's fascinating. I love that SIPs framework that you laid out there, Susan. And it's fascinating to me because I think every one of those items are hugely important for any professional or business owner during their lifetime. So to think that suddenly that doesn't matter in retirement is, I think, a big mistake, as you rightly point out. I think for me, I resonate with structure in particular. I think that I'm one of those people that loves going away to travel on holidays and everything else. And partly it's because there is no structure, at least the way I want to go on holiday. But soon enough, what I miss is that routine and that structure that you kind of organizes your day and organizes your life. And I can totally imagine that when you're in retirement and what looks like an endless, you know, stream of holidays and golfing and relaxing, etc., can quickly become very painful if there isn't some sort of organizing structure around it. You can plan each hour, each day, etc., but there has to be some broader structure, I think, that was going to help a retiree kind of navigate those years.
Yeah, I think what you just touched on is the psychological concept called hedonic adaptation. And that is that when we enjoy something, we think if we do more of it or have more of it, it's going to make us happier. And in fact, we get used to it. So, I mean, the analogy I like to use, because I'm a chocolate lover, is, you know, if I have a piece of chocolate every day, I love it. I'm happy. But then if I OD on it and eat too much of it, I'm going to say, don't, no more chocolate for me. The same thing holds true for golf, for travel, and so on. I just came back from a 2-week vacation in Costa Rica. And by the end of it, and I totally enjoyed the lack of structure in the day and the ease and so on. But I'll tell you, by about day 8, 9, I was totally ready to come home, get back into work, into the structure of the day and so on. So I think we get lulled into thinking that, you know, retirement's going to be this endless vacation and we're going to love every minute of it, but it loses its appeal when it's when there's an overdose of it.
Too true. And I think I love the chocolate analogy. I can relate. Susan, one of your books is titled 9 Steps to a Rich Life Retirement: Live Well, Give Back, Leave a Legacy. What are some of the key non-financial aspects of retirement that you help clients plan for?
Yes. So, Sam, the book really lays the philosophical underpinning for what I call a rich life, which narrowly defined by financial people would just be having more money. But I don't look at a rich life like that at all. I think that the subtitle of the book, Live Well, Give Back, Leave a Legacy, is really what defines a rich life from my perspective. So I think the first thing is to check your mindset. Do you have the right mindset about what retirement is? And this notion of living a rich life is a great place to start. Then specifically, there are 8 areas of life, all non-financial, that we help people with. We call that those 8 areas the happiness portfolio. And just like a financial portfolio, it has different asset classes. And a good portfolio of any sort should have some balance as well as diversification in it. So our happiness portfolio is the model that we use for living a rich life in retirement.
I think what intrigues me about this is if I can take the investing analogy, I think there is an element of, you know, in what we call in behavioral finance, a social proof. So I think if you look at, for example, cryptocurrency or meme stocks, the reason that they're popular is not necessarily that they're appropriate for most people, but because it's talked about, there's almost this fear of missing out. So people are seeing these so-called investments, et cetera, that are being talked about and that people are can't get enough of. And they think, okay, they must be right. I must be missing out here. And I wonder, and I'd love your opinion on this, we don't talk about these non-financial aspects of retirement, so much so that I wonder whether that's creating this dynamic that pre-retirees are thinking that what they need to do is simply get their retirement finances in order, and the rest of this work doesn't need to be done, that there's something wrong with them if they don't have these answers, et cetera, or if they're having these questions because nobody else has it, when that seems to be the furthest from the truth. I mean, and by the way, I think you and I would agree that getting the finances in order is important, and there's enough Canadians that aren't doing that, and it is a problem, but at least it's being talked about. I wonder how much of this lack of discussion about these other aspects of retirement, that the non-financial aspects of retirement, is contributing to the problem. What do you think?
Definitely. You know, back in, if I go back to 1990, only about a third of people had any challenges whatsoever adjusting to their years in retirement. By 1995, that number was 69%. And since then, we've had the pandemic. And that has really shone the spotlight on this challenge that people face when they go into retirement. So I think it's been overlooked because years ago, it wasn't an issue. It is an issue now with people living 25, 30 plus years beyond their careers or businesses into retirement. And I also think that, you know, in the financial industry, we're not trained to talk to our clients about much else than financial planning, portfolios, the markets, economy, currency, and so on. That's the training that I received when I became a financial advisor. And that's still today how most advisors are trained coming into the business. So it's uncomfortable territory for a lot of advisors to actually step away from that mechanical kind of conversation and the blurbs about the markets and so on and about portfolios, and to actually tread into some of these softer areas. But I maintain that the future, and you know, you're all about the future-focused advisor, the future advisor is going to have the human touch. They will embrace this emotional side of the relationship with their client. But it doesn't come automatically to most advisors. And that's where we fill the gap with our advisor program in trying to provide advisors with the tools, the resources, the training for them to shift their conversation from simply the financial side to the integration of the life plan of the client with the financial side. And I think as the whole industry becomes more high tech, we've seen an AI can be a wonderful addition to running a successful practice. But the downside is that clients will start to question what fees they're paying when so many of the aspects of what an advisor used to do become commoditized. So I maintain as the industry gets more and more high tech, advisors need to be more and more high touch. And that takes some training. It takes some courage to actually start to have those kinds of conversations. But we're there working with advisors hand in hand to help them cross over and develop these new approaches to speaking with their clients. And let's face it, these retirement age clients are, and I know in my book, they were my best clients because they had no debt. You know, they often had large portfolios through either inheritance, sale of a business, or just good planning, good investing, good income, and so on. And those clients today, those 65-year-olds, can be fantastic clients for the next 25, 30 years of an advisor's tenure in the business. So we want to do everything we can to provide the value to those clients so that we maintain the loyalty and they stick with us throughout their lifetime and our lifetime.
I want to come on to the adaptation that advisors have to make and how you're helping them. But I want to make a couple of comments first, if I may. I think, first of all, I totally agree that in order to compete with AI and the technical aspects, which I think AI can either today do as effectively as a human advisor can, but certainly over the next 10 years will be able to do, I think, to me, it's not a challenge for advisors, but it's an opportunity, because I think that focusing on the human touch, the human side of it, as you say, is, at least in the foreseeable future, is not something that AI is going to be able to compete with. So to be able to better understand the emotions, the hopes, the dreams that's underpinning a client's financial objectives, et cetera, I think is going to be a game changer for the human advisors that can get that right. I want to go out on a limb here and, you know, get your thoughts on something. As you were talking, it occurred to me that perhaps one of the reasons that there is such a retirement challenge in terms of the non-financial aspects. I mean, first of all, as you say, we're living longer post-retirement than we ever have. But number two, if you look at the statistics, less than one third of working adults are engaged in their current job or careers on a day-to-day basis, et cetera. And I wonder whether this deferred gratification of, oh, I hate my job, I hate my career, but, you know, when I'm in retirement, I get to do what I want to do, et cetera. That kind of buildup of that delayed gratification because of current unhappiness or dissatisfaction, whether that simply exacerbates that retirement challenge when we get there. What do you think?
Well, definitely. I think people put retirement on the pedestal. And I think it's a lot prompted by the media, which shows retired people, you know, holding hands, walking down the beach or embarking on their cruise ship and all of this. And I think that that really is a disservice to what retirement is, because leisure, let's face it, is very important in retirement. And having more leisure time is something that people aspire to greatly when they're working, but it's not the whole picture. In fact, for our model of the happiness portfolio, leisure is one of the eight areas. So all the areas need to be addressed. And these are areas that can be looked at, not just as you approach retirement, but earlier on in career as well. So a lot of people that are sort of pinning their hopes on doing all these things in retirement, a lot of times they don't have to wait to start to integrate. For example, physical health is huge. And a lot of people say, well, when I retire, then I'll start going to the gym. By then, it's often too late, or they actually haven't got the habits in place to do that. So, you know, that's one aspect. The other is, of course, time with family. And as a grandmother, I can certainly espouse the merits of having grandchildren. Not that I want to babysit them, you know, every week either, but, you know, that's another aspect to life that can be quite gratifying later on. Of course, when we're working, we're often engaged in educational challenges, having to do CE credits or continuing education of some sort in our professions. But when we retire, we have to do something to keep the brain active, and crossword puzzles and Wordle doesn't cut it. So continuous learning in those years is critically important too. Now, I should also mention that some people don't just stop working in retirement. We are seeing more and more people now that engage in some sort of professional activity, whether it be working part-time, whether it be doing consulting or taking on projects and so on. So professionals still can be a part of retirement. It doesn't mean the end of your working life. For some, it's requirement financially, but for many people, it's really just to leverage what they know. That was it for me, was to say there was a problem that I saw with my clients. So in my next career, I wanted to really delve into that problem and find solutions. So that's what led me to do this in my so-called retirement years.
Now, I want to go back to something that you mentioned. You offer services directly to retirees, but you're also working with financial advisors to incorporate this concept of retirement lifestyle planning into their practices. Why do you think it's important for advisors to consider these non-financial factors when they're working with their pre-retirees?
Okay, I think there are several aspects to that, Sam. One is, and I touched on it earlier, is maintaining the loyalty of these existing clients. Quite often when people go through life transitions, part of the transition involves changing advisors. We see this quite often with people getting divorced or being widowed or widowers, where they feel that their current advisor no longer is the right fit. So by knowing, for an advisor to know that retirement is a major life transition and to be right there at their client's side, knowledgeable about this transition, both financially and non-financially, and then able to help them, I think it engenders tremendous loyalty for those clients to stay with the advisor for a very long time. I think another aspect of it is that it's very hard today for an advisor to differentiate themselves from the competition. When I look at advisor websites or LinkedIns, I see they're all talking about the same thing. And so having non-financial retirement lifestyle planning as part of your offering is at this point a huge differentiator, sets you apart from the competitors that are still talking about, you know, their approach to portfolio management or how their financial plan or their insurance product is better than the next. I think the third factor is that it can be quite a useful tool in attracting new prospects. And I remember here one of our advisor clients in our program worked for one of the large banks. And he, of course, wanted to prospect the senior executives, just like every other advisor in that organization. But of course, very challenging to get to the top. He put on a webinar, and we do have a series of six webinars that we deliver to clients through their advisors. He did a webinar and promoted it on social media. And sure enough, one of the senior bank executives showed up at the webinar, because he was 2 years out from retirement. And that gave that bank advisor the opportunity then to delve deeper, to talk to that executive and to prospect him basically to become a client. So I think that the outreach using a non-financial approach to this major life transition called retirement is can be very, very effective in bringing in new clients. So I would say three things: maintain loyalty from your existing clients, differentiate yourself from the competition, and three, use it as a way to magnetize new prospects to your practice.
I think those are great. And I think the idea of differentiation in particular resonates with me as we talked about the fact that AI is going to commoditize a lot of the aspects that advisors historically have been trying to differentiate themselves on. So for those who are still years away from retiring, when would you recommend that they start working with a retirement coach? And why do you think that early planning is so critical?
Well, I think when you're mid-career and you have debts to pay and children to raise and a career to accelerate, it's very difficult to think about retirement. And it's probably not the appropriate time, other than from a financial perspective, to start saving and investing for those years. But I think that when you're about 3 years out from a known retirement date, it's a good time to start thinking about it. Many people do this kind of pre-planning with their finances. So before you start tackling your financial retirement plan, good idea to start on the thoughts of the lifestyle plan as well. Now, many people are so busy, tied up with their jobs or careers or business, they just don't have time. They don't even think about what's next. I see this quite often with business owners selling, that it's all about the deal, the transaction, and so on. And they haven't given 1 minute of thought to what's next. They're just so conscious and keen to get the deal done. So those people may be on the cusp of retirement, and it's not too late. Better to tackle that than fall into some of the pitfalls that we discussed earlier. Now, a lot of people do retire, and for the first 6 to 18 months, couldn't be happier. We call that period the retirement honeymoon. But after the retirement honeymoon ends, then people often start to wonder, is this all there is? Is there more? And should I be looking at it differently? And so that's where we come in with having our program for people. So either 3 to 5 years out on the cusp of retirement or already retired, not too late at any one of those stages to start planning for retirement and work with a retirement coach.
I think I 100% agree. And I would add perhaps that it's also not ever too early. I think that people think that on retirement or the day after retirement is when they can find a new social network, for example, on which they're going to spend their time, or a new friend network, or discover new hobbies. And I think those are all aspects that people can start giving thought to and putting in place 5-10 years before retirement, to spend a little bit of time and investment in learning a new hobby or finding things that is going to interest them and keep them occupied mentally, physically, socially, rather than trying to figure out on the day after retirement when you've got 40 plus hours to fill, what are you going to find to fill it?
Yeah, it's so true. A lot of people that don't have a plan find themselves busy because it's someone else's agenda. You're not working, so you can take on this volunteer role. You can help, you know, help with the grandchildren. You can do this, you can do that. And I got reports from my clients saying, I'm so busy, I don't know how I ever had time to work. But then they also admit that at the end of the day, they didn't feel that they accomplished a whole lot. So you need to have a plan so nobody else makes the plan for you. It's basically what it boils down to. I kind of look at it, you know, you talked about when should you start. I kind of look at retirement coaching as an analogy to personal training. So 25 years ago, if you said to someone, I have a personal trainer, they would look at you and say, I mean, can't you do a sit-up and a push-up on your own? Why do you need a personal trainer? Well, now we know it as a best practice. And if you really want to maintain physical health, you you work with a trainer in the gym or at home, or you do some form of coaching with a trainer. Let's face it, all professionals in every field have coaches. So this concept of retirement coaching is relatively new, but I feel it's just as important to have a retirement coach as it is to have a personal trainer or a music coach or a sports coach or whatever. So all professional, executive coach, I mean, all professionals look to coaches to help them. And retirement coaching is really part of that continuum as well.
Look, I think that's a great point. I love the concept of if you don't plan it, you can be very busy, but still feel like you're not accomplishing something. So I think that's such a great insight. And I think to your point about everyone needing a coach, someone said to me once that the challenge for all of us, and there's enough behavioral and psychological research to support this, is that we can't see the whole picture when we're in the frame. And I think the idea for us to kind of notice what we're doing or not doing or should be doing is very, very hard for every one of us to kind of identify for ourselves, et cetera. I mean, this is why, as you know, they always say that doctors should not be their own patients and lawyers should not be their own clients. And this is not to question their ability. It's simply to question their ability to be objective and unemotional when it comes to themselves, et cetera.
Yeah, that's so true. And we've had some wonderful breakthrough stories with some of the clients that we've worked with, people that have opened doors for themselves that they never thought were possible, identified aspects of their makeup, their personalities, and their interests that have been dormant for their whole career. So it's very exciting work for us to be doing. And we love the outcome when we work with clients. And I should say that, you know, not just clients, but financial advisors themselves. And we have worked with some financial advisors who are approaching their retirement, because many are entrepreneurially minded. They've been highly successful, made a lot of money, but very much focused on their career. And many have not had the time or the inclination to look outside. So just because you're a financial advisor doesn't mean that you're immune from some of the challenges. And it means that you need to plan, as they appreciate the importance of doing a financial plan as well.
Susan, this is great. We're coming to the end of our podcast. So I have a few final rapid fire questions that I ask all my guests. So if you're ready, number one, professionally, what is the most important lesson you've learned over the years?
Well, Sam, as an advisor for over 38 years, I think the most important lesson I learned was to stay client focused. Not think about me, not think about the numbers, but just focus on the clients. Drill down with each and every client, all of the things that are important to them. Really become very intimately knowledgeable about their situation in life. In doing so, it's a most rewarding career to have because you really get to know people. But from a business perspective, it also leads to knowing family members, getting referrals, and so on. So being client-focused is both a source of great personal satisfaction as well as business success.
I couldn't agree more. I always used to tell the CFAs and investment counselors I heard, all of this technical knowledge is great, but until you can speak to the heart of the client and show them that you care about their money almost as much as they care about their money, there's no point in talking to them about standard deviation and volatility and all of your CFA speak.
Yeah, so true.
Number two, what is one practical tip you would offer listeners keen on applying your insights?
I think we touched on that earlier, which is don't wait until you're you've had your retirement party and handed in your parking pass and your name badge to start thinking about it. So start early, become knowledgeable about yourself first by drilling down into what your own interests, priorities, motivations, and so on are. And in our five-step process, that is step one. And then work with somebody. Work with a coach, read books. I mean, really start to take this as seriously as you take the approach to your money.
Awesome. And last but not least, parting word of advice for listeners.
So I think for financial advisors, it's don't be caught up by being commoditized in the high tech AI revolution. Shift gears now and start to incorporate the non-financial side of planning into your practice. It'll pay dividends in your client relationships. It'll pay dividends in your business growth, and it'll lead you to prospects that you probably never could tap into before.
Great advice. Susan, this has been a really fun and interesting and insightful conversation with lots of good takeaways. If listeners want to learn more about you or find your work, where do they go?
So the best way is to check out our website, www.nextchapterlifestyleadvisors.com. Nextchapterlifestyleadvisors.com. Our website has two parts to it. One is for the public, individuals and couples that are needing to do some retirement planning and want to work with a coach. And the other part of our website is for professional financial advisors. And in that part of it, we have a whole program for financial advisors to give them the education, the training, the tools, the resources for them to make this shift from being strictly a financial advisor to a truly holistic advisor of the 21st century. So the website's really the place to start. Obviously, LinkedIn and my book and my partner's book, Your Happiness Portfolio for Retirement, It's Not About the Money, are both on Amazon.
Susan, thank you for joining us today on the Future Ready Advisor podcast.
It's been a pleasure, Sam. Thank you.
A really interesting discussion today with Susan Latremoy, a former financial advisor who is now a retirement coach. Here are my three key takeaways from the discussion with Susan. Number one, retirement planning needs to go beyond just finances. Susan highlighted four key non-financial aspects that people struggle with in retirement, what she calls her SIPS framework: loss of social connections, identity, purpose, and structure. Planning for the lifestyle changes is just as important as the financial planning elements. Number two, advisors need to incorporate non-financial retirement planning into their practices to better serve clients. This includes understanding clients' interests, motivation, and priorities for retirement. It helps build loyalty, differentiates the advisor, and attracts new clients nearing retirement. Number three, people should start retirement lifestyle planning 3 to 5 years before retiring. It's never too early to start thinking about interests, hobbies, and social connections for retirement. Waiting until retirement often means struggling to fill the days or having others dictate the schedule. Advisors should remember that retirement is a major life transition that requires planning for the non-financial aspects just as much as the financial component. Advisors who can provide holistic support on both will be better positioned to serve today's retirees.